5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
When I had come down this hill, I had seen this creature cross the road. It would have ripped my locked door from my truck, extracted me from my vehicle, and there wouldn't have been a damn thing I could have done about it.
This thing, I got to notice in its eyes. Its eyes was real, real evil, real sinister looking. The look it was giving me.
Max, what are your police?
Jesus Christ, you better... Sheriff, see ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
Welcome to Sasquatch Chronicles, a place where people share their encounters. Let's start the show.
Slaughter.
Grimmer, okay. You know, from Sasquatch Chronicles, that little show Sasquatch Chronicles over there in Washington. I know they don't have a very big
I laugh audience, every time I hear this.
I made a little bet that if I lost the poker game, I would change the name of my next four episodes to Sit Down with Wes and Woody. So I am a man of my word. So, hello everybody. Thanks for clicking into another episode of Sit Down with Wes and Woody. God, that hurts.
I think it sounds great. I like it.
We've actually had an opportunity to talk to this gentleman once before, and I'll tell you what, he was a class act on the show.
And like I said last night, he's never been on Wes and Woody.
He's always out in the woods and doing a lot of research.
Welcome to the show.
Recently saw a news article on TV with him in it, which was pretty cool. And we're going to get to that. But he just had a new video come out, and I'll tell you, it's amazing. Please welcome Mr. David Lauer. Hey, Dave, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, it's good to be back. Thank you for having me, and sorry to hear about your bet there. You know, it's awful nice of you and good of you to man up on your bet.
It was a spanking.
You know, I thought about it. I was trying to find a way to get out of it, but there's really no good way to do it and stay true, you know? So,
yeah, you got to stay the course.
Yeah. And, you know, I can say that it was unfair because
here
it was 2-1. And I want to point out that although I did lose, Wes did not beat me, by the way. Only Woody. Woody beat me pretty good. Woody's a pretty good card player.
Brother.
Wes, if it was one-on-one, I had it in the bag.
Listen to this guy.
He would have been,
who's this guy think he is?
Hey, he's speaking the truth, man.
It would have been over.
It is what it is.
He might as well not even sit down at the table with me. But, Wes got me, and I lost. So it is what it is.
Maybe poker's just not your game.
The first of four episodes, they'll sit down with Wes and Woody. So that's what it is.
Sounds like a good show.
David,
oh man, it's gonna take a lot of getting used to. So we're gonna have to. We'll get through it though. I promise you somehow we'll get through it. I hope that my audience doesn't.
Wes and Woody.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what
my,
I thought.
You know, my ratings go down because of their names on my show. But we're. I'm kidding. I actually like Wes and Woody a lot. They're actually really, really good guys. Very successful Sasquatch Chronicles show, and I love their show myself. So. I have absolutely no problem whatsoever honoring them and their poker prowess for by calling this Sit Down with Wes and Woody for four episodes. But four episodes only, Wes, Woody. That's it. That's all you get. So, Mr. Lauer, how's it going, man? It's been a while.
Anyway, kid of music.
You've been doing a lot. You've got a lot going on. What kind of kid Absolutely.
Well, look who's on the phone. It's Mr. Ed Brown. Ed, how are you tonight?
What's going on, fellas?
Not too much. It's good to hear you again, Ed. I haven't seen you since the International Bigfoot Conference, but
since you got spanked.
I wasn't going to quite put it that way, but since you said it, I haven't seen you since what Wes said.
I have to defend myself here, though, because I know that I did say in one of my previous interviews that it was 2-1, and I got to say, it was not 2-1, because I will say that you two did have a few pretty good face-offs there, so I'll give you that.
Well, that's why I showed up today. I wanted to make the wanted to make it an even playing ground. So again, it's 2-1. So here we go.
it was definitely 1-1-1-1. I'll give you that. But I want to make clear though, Wes, while you're on here, and Woody's on here, and I'm on here.
Right. Set the record
straight. I want to make it clear that Wes did not beat me.
Right.
Woody did a fantastic job of calling my bluff on that last hand, and
this interview is done.
Good job to Woody for that. Because of that, I had to change the name of my show, but that's all right. That's all right.
Yeah, no, you're a good man for changing it.
He's a good sport, man. He's a good sport.
Yeah, good sport. I was saying on Friday night show, I was like, I wasn't going to hold Ed to that. I wasn't going to make him change the name of a show. But people out there, if they want to check out Ed Brown's show, if you go to YouTube and you type in Big Truth, Ed comes up, and he does some pretty good interviews. I mean, it's no Sasquatch Chronicles. Don't get me wrong. But
just a little.
Hey, Wes, there's nothing wrong with being the number two show, man. You should be used to it by now.
Yeah, no, it was good times at the International Bigfoot Conference. I was saying last night, you know, Woody and I went out. We had drinks, and I probably had one too many drinks. And then we were heading up to bed, and I was like, man, I was telling Woody, I was wiped out. I mean, we had gotten up early, set up all the equipment. We had recorded for 8+ hours and then gone out to dinner. I mean, I'm not digging ditches. I don't want to make it sound like I'm out, breaking rocks. But
did you say one too many? Are you sure that number is high enough?
It might have been more than one. But
I got to tell you, I've never been beaten by somebody who, in the middle of a hand, starts shuffling the cards again.
That's right. I forgot all about that until you said that.
That tells you what kind of condition I was in. I wasn't really sure where we were at in the hand. I just figured the next hand was on, and in my mind, I assumed I won. But that might have been the whiskey talking.
that was hilarious. Actually, now that you mentioned
that was good.
I forgot all about it until you said that, man. That was hilarious.
Yeah. Don't worry, I'll bring it up.
I think I won that hand too, by the way.
It was a lot of fun, guys. I'll tell you, we're definitely going to do it again. And, you know, maybe we won't put any, you know, show ramifications on it. But
no, I
we'll
wouldn't
do it again.
I wouldn't if I was you. I wouldn't do that again.
No, I'm thinking something bigger and better, you know?
You should go all in and just have us on your show, just completely ruin the whole show by having us on the last episode of Sit Down with Wes and Woody. I mean, just go all in. Oh. If you're going to ruin it by throwing our names on there, you might as well have us on, too, as well.
let me tell you, that is already in the works. I think we've actually, I may have mentioned that to you already. If not, I apologize, but that is definitely what I want to do. I want to bring you guys both on the last of the four episodes that I owe you. And we'll have fun with it. And it's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time.
Yeah, but I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you saying earlier, Ed? You had something better.
Oh, no. I was just saying we'll come up with something better. Nothing necessarily in mind at the moment, but it'll be better than what we just what I just lost at. Because even though I'm a good sport and I'm a man of my word, if I say I'll do it, I'll do it. I'm also very competitive, and I plan on getting even.
Well, I don't blame you. It's funny. All joking aside, Woody and I are actually pretty good poker players. I mean, I guess I'll stroke our egos at the moment, but we're actually pretty good, especially when we're sober, myself included in that story. But, you know, when we were playing in Beachfoot and we were all sitting around, I think it was just you, me, and Woody. I remember even at that poker table walking away and telling Woody, Ed's pretty good, man. Ed's really good at poker. Because, you know, everyone else, we were sitting there at the table. I mean, we were just destroying everyone. You know, Larry was calling all in on every hand. And I was like, okay, I'll entertain you. I'll give you a card beating if that's what you really want. And I ended up throwing him out. Then some other lady, I don't remember who we were sitting with. I think I knocked her out. And then I started gunning for you, but you're pretty good, man. I got to give it to you. You're a pretty good card player, that's for sure.
Well, I remember that night, the night we were at Beachfoot, we were playing. I remember when we walked away, I think Woody and I were pretty darn close on chips. I think he had me by a few, but we pretty much had everybody's money, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
And then, sure enough, at the International Bigfoot Conference, Woody called my bluff and took me out. So Woody, man, props to you for that. You guys are actually really good card players too. And I enjoy the competition and I enjoyed the banter and having fun. And it was all in good fun. And it was really a good time. We're going to do it again.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can bring some more good card players in with us.
But on a serious note, you know, Ed, for your own thing, for your own street cred, I wouldn't go around bragging about how Woody beat you at the, you know, Woody's really not that good. So I wouldn't go around bragging about how Woody beat you.
This comes from a guy that decided to redeal the cards in the middle of a hand.
We've covered that portion.
I was getting ready to say, go ahead and rub it in. You know, I got beat by one guy who shuffles the card in the middle, and then he says the other guy is not very good.
Yeah,
so
he saw like three of you, and then says I'm no good. So
that's hurting my pride, fellas.
No, you are, Ed. You're actually really good, and you're fun. You're fun to play poker with, and you're a really good sport. And you know what, man? I do it all over again, brother.
Absolutely.
You're a lot of fun. On a serious note, you're a pretty good guy.
Thanks. You guys are too. You guys are too. We had a lot of fun even after the spanking. We went outside and we talked, man. We had a good time just chatting, man. You guys are good guys. You're good down to earth guys, and I hope people know that. You know, they're Wes and Woody are class act guys. Telling you.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. And I appreciate all, you know, like I said, at the end of the day, it's all good fun. You know, I'm a competitive. Woody's competitive. I know you're competitive, Ed. But at the end of the day, we can still have a good time with it and just have fun with it. With your show, I know you interview a lot of people. I know if people are out there, they're listening. Again, if you go to Big Truth, if you go to YouTube and type in Big Truth, you'll find Ed's channel. And
yeah, we've
Ed does a lot of interviews. He interviews a lot of people.
Yeah, we've had the privilege to interview quite a few people, a couple times. We've had a lot of fun. We've had some really big name people. But we have two interviewing shows. We have Sit Down with Ed Brown, currently known as Sit Down with Wes and Woody.
I like that better. You should permanently change that.
I like the sound of it.
In that show, we bring on more of the celebrity type individuals, bigger names, people, you know who they are. And then we also have a Sasquatch Encounters show where I interview, you know, just regular people who have had interviews, just like you guys do. You know, you guys do a great job with that. And I know that I don't do a whole lot of those, but people really love them. You know, I don't know where you get all your people, man. You do a great job with your show.
Yeah, I appreciate that, man. A lot of people, it's people just contacting me who've had encounters and want to come on the show. And there's no secret behind doing this type of show. You know, as long as you don't beat someone up over what they saw, you know, and you've heard the show, Ed. I don't bring anyone on besides Ed Brown that I want to really give a verbal thrashing to. But no, people come on and you know, they just contact me and have encounters. But I do enjoy your show. I actually do listen to your show. I know it's been a while since you've done a sit down with Ed Brown, which is the real name of the show. Sit down with Ed Brown, and you do a good job with the. I've always enjoyed your interviews. Always thought you did a really great job with the show.
Thank you, man. That means a lot coming from the caliber of show you had. That means a lot. Thank you.
No, I'm just running a rinky-dink operation here, but I appreciate
you're
it.
You're setting me up for something.
No, not setting you up.
Well, you know, as you know, and I've listened to your show too, and I've listened to a lot of your shows, and what I've noticed that you do that I do. Is you let your guests tell their story without interrupting and adding your own personal opinions and interjecting and this and that. Let your guests talk, man, and you know, it'll be a great show. You know, that's all you got to do.
Yeah, there's no secret to it. I know a lot of the other podcasters and stuff can't figure out quite what I'm doing, but there really is no secret to it. I shut up when people talk and let them tell their stories, and I kind of hold my questions till the end, or when it's appropriate, I'll start asking questions. And then I don't talk about myself, except for this show. We're talking about all of us, but generally speaking, I don't talk about myself. And, you know, I don't interject my own encounter to the show, and I don't interject on my thoughts on, you know, it's kind of like when you bring a guest on and they want, if I did completely disagree with everything they're saying, then it turns into an argument, then I'm robbing the audience of a good encounter, of a good, you know, possible some good information that they're getting from that person. And so that's one thing that I don't do. And, you know, there's a lot of people I disagree with that I like. I mean, Woody, were just talking about Ron Moorhead. I completely, right. You know, him and I, there's some things I do agree with him on. But for the most part, him and I are kind of night and day on our theories on things. But I love Ron. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll sit down and I'll buy Ron drinks all night long and slaughter him in poker too as well.
He'll drink them.
Oh yeah, no, I absolutely love Ron, and that's kind of the shame of the whole Bigfoot community is everyone hates each other. Everyone's out, you know, it's a bunch of little men out there with very thin skin that if you say anything negative towards them or constructive, they crumble like dust. But there are some good ones out there, you know. I really enjoyed spending time with you. We were laughing the whole time, and. I know you were going through a tough time with the International Bigfoot Conference, but you are a man of your word. No jokes, all jokes aside, you are a man of your word. And when you say you're going to do something, you do it. And like I said with your show, I wasn't going to hold you to changing the name of your show. Well, not for one minute.
Well, let me tell you, had I won, I would have held you to Ed Brown Chronicles.
I told
you. Know.
I told you he would. I knew it.
Yeah.
I was like, Wes and I were doing some interviews yesterday, and we had this. We were kind of talking about you, and I said, you know what? I think Ed would probably hold you to it, man. I really do. And it would be well deserved too. It would be well deserved, right?
Hey, look, you guys are really good card players, and had I beat you guys, then. I would have had to hold you to it just because of the whole pride factor, you know.
Right.
If I lost, I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be a man of my word as well. And again, it goes back to pride. You know, who are you if you're not a man of your word? You know, if you can't be trusted, who are you?
Well, it was two on one, so. Right.
No, it really. I mean, you know, I joke around about that. Yeah, I do joke around about that a lot. However, the truth is, it was not, because Woody and Wes actually had some really good hands against each other, and I think Woody came out on top on those as well. So Woody was the man of the night, that's for sure.
Let's not go that far. Let's not get carried away here.
Of course, Woody, you know Wes isn't going to agree with that, but it's true, right?
Right. Ed, I'm going to have to take your side on this. I think I agree.
Oh, really? Wow, yeah, what a shocker.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you can't hear me. I'm muted out.
Actually, I lost both of you guys. Sorry, the board's messing up. Anyway, welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight.
I don't know if you guys know the Big Truth channel, by the way, is actually run by Dan Lindholm. And I think you guys met him at Beachfoot as well.
Yeah, Dan was a good man. Yeah, we met Dan.
Yeah, he's a great guy. He does a great job at that website. He does all the audio. I basically, when I do my interviews, I just do the audio. I send him the audio. He puts it together. You know, he does everything else, which is awesome. It helps me out a lot. We actually went to, you know, you were talking about differences of opinions and things of that nature. We actually went to Soha, and it was a pretty interesting few days. And he's actually going to be on, and I hate to bring up another show in the middle of this with everything else going on. He's going to be on Monster X on Sunday. And he's going to talk about that encounter or that excursion, if you will. And it's going to be pretty interesting. Definitely a must listen.
No, I've never heard of the other show you're talking about, but No, it'd be interesting to hear. And for the audience listening who has no clue what we're talking about, Soha was Matthew Johnson, his habituation site, where he was saying there was portals opening up. And I know Adam Davies actually saw something there too. And I spoke with him, and he was very, you know, he was very credible what he was saying. And he was frightened when he was telling the story. I mean, I could just tell by his body language. And people might agree with him, people might not agree with him. But at the end of the day, I can tell you, Adam Davies saw something there. I don't know what he saw, but he definitely saw something there.
Absolutely. You know, and before we went, my thing was, I don't know what he saw, but I believe he thinks he saw something, that he believes he saw it. And after going there myself, I'm definitely a little more on board. I didn't see a portal or anything like that, but I will tell you, it was an interesting visit. You know, I'm not, going woo or anything, but it was an interesting visit.
Let me ask you, Ed, before I let you plug any other shows or whatever else you want to plug here, what did you see at Soha? What was interesting about it?
Ouch.
You know, it's funny because Dan and I were talking, and then we were kind of talking about what he was going to talk about on tomorrow. But he said, you know, Matthew Johnson is definitely on one end of the spectrum. Steven Struppert is definitely on the other end of the spectrum, you know, and they both believe what they believe, but the truth is somewhere in the middle, you know. And I can tell you, for example, there were four of us. Two of us had some really nice night vision goggles on. Two other guys were, you know, just naked eyes. We all four saw an orange flash, you know. Now, with the naked eye, I can see that, but through night vision goggles, you can only see green, white, and black. You can't see orange, but we did. I was wearing night vision goggles, and I saw an orange flash. I can't explain how or why, but I did.
That's really interesting, because you're right. With night vision, you only see it's all black and white, or what's the other color?
Green.
Gray. Yeah, green.
Green.
Green and gray.
And you saw orange through the night vision?
Adam and I were both wearing night vision goggles. Dan Lindholm and Kirk Brown were both standing next to us. It was pretty dark. I mean, it was pitch black. And out in the woods, I mean, probably, and I'm just guessing, 70, 75 yards away, there was definitely an orange flash. It didn't last long. It just like a sparkle just kind of showed up and then disappeared. But it was funny because we talked about, did you guys see that orange flash? And it didn't even dawn on us that you can't see orange in night vision goggles, because we just did, you know. And it wasn't until later we were with Russ Acord, and he was explaining to us that, well, that's impossible. And I'm like, well, it may be impossible, but we saw it. And sure enough, you know, he's right. I mean, you shouldn't be able to see that color in night vision goggles, but we did.
Was it a ball of light, or was it just a flash?
It was kind of like, you know, those little sparklers kids use on the 4th of July.
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. It just kind of came on and then went off. It just sparkled, you know? And then it went away. It was, it was, we kept seeing an odd light that was keeping our attention in that area. But it was just to me, it was just a white light through my night vision goggles, and it would just kind of come on, move a little bit, and disappear. And it was interesting. You know, it kind of had, you know, I didn't know what it was. It could have been something walking through with maybe the moonlight directing off of it or something. I didn't really know what it was, but we were all looking in that direction for that reason. And then suddenly this orange light just comes on and goes off. It was just really weird.
Yeah, we can relate to that. I know Woody and I saw a strange light one night, and I filmed it on night vision, and I have no explanation for it. I have no explanation for what it is. If I could go back and show you, we should go back during the day and film where that light was, because then people could actually see where it was at. And where it was at was not, it made no sense that there was a light there. It was hovering above the river, basically.
Well, I tell you, that was when you guys were in the car, correct? You guys jumped out of the car.
Yeah, we jumped out of the car, and I grabbed my camera and I started filming it. It looks just like a ball of light, kind of more like diamond shape. When you say, I guess I'd have to go back and look at the video, but if I remember right, it was kind of a diamond shape.
It was kind of a diamond shape, and from what I remember, it was kind of a orangish yellow looking light. And what was really strange about it, it seemed to be interested in whatever we were doing, which was very weird. It almost, I hate to use the word kind of, it followed us, but more or less it kind of did.
Yeah. The more interest we took in it, the more interest it took in us. And I have no explanation for it. I mean, I can't, I'm not a big woo-woo guy, but I have no explanation for what that light was and why it was. I can tell you it was intelligently controlled, whatever it was. And it wasn't anything man-made. I mean, there was no sound. Right. There was no nothing.
Well, the only other time I saw a light was when I was at the Brown property up in Washington. I was at Sarah and Jonathan Brown's property. And we were all standing there. And Sarah and I was standing there. Sarah was to my left and Jonathan was to her left. And Jonathan was looking off to the left. He wasn't looking where we were looking. But coincidentally, Sarah and I just happened to be looking in the same location, same direction. And a pretty big light. I mean, this thing was... It wasn't very far. You've been to the property, right?
Yeah, no, we've both been out to the property. And I've seen the lights out there too as well. There was one night where we ran across some lights, yeah.
Well, this thing just kind of came, it was, I can only compare it like someone turned on a porch light and then turned it back off. And it was a good sized light, but it wasn't like, you know, like a light bulb. It was more of a glow, you know, it was soft glow. It was weird. It was just, you know, it didn't illuminate the entire area like a light bulb would. You know what I mean? It just, it was very defined in its own, it was glowing just in its own little space. You know, I don't know if that even makes sense, but it just came on, went off, and Sarah and I, she like grabs me, "Did you see that?" And I was like, yeah, I saw it. You know, it's crazy. That was the first time I'd ever seen a light. And it doesn't make any sense to me. I know that, but it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting to run across those lights, because I know when people used to talk about, I guess you can call them orbs or whatever you want to call them, I always struggled with it. I was like, you know, how many times I've been out in the forest? I've never once come across an orb or a light flying around. And then I had to eat crow the night that we saw it. And then I debated whether talking about it on the air, but I was like, why not talk about it on the air? We saw it. I mean, there's, and I filmed it. So why not talk about it on the air? I wanted to ask you, Ed, since I'm doing the interview here and you're on the number one show, Sasquatch Chronicles, unlike the number two show, Sit Down with Wes and Woody, but it's getting up there.
Small steps, brother.
Yeah, baby steps. Yeah. What got you interested in Bigfoot? Why are you in with all these crazies?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, obviously, my interest started when I was, you know, just a kid, and I saw the, you know, the Patterson Gimlin film for the first time. And it was, you know, it was pretty intriguing. Even as a kid, I was like, man, you know, there's monsters out in the woods. You know, that's what I thought. You know, I'd always been interested in, you know, Bigfoot, the paranormal, UFOs. I love all that stuff. You know, in fact, I probably love the paranormal more than I do Bigfoot, but I'm just kind of stuck in the Bigfoot world, you know. About 2007, I had a back injury at work, and I was out of work for 8 months with a pretty serious back injury. And during that time, I was just bored, so I wrote a book. And I wrote a book, 10 Days with Sasquatch. It's just a fiction, of course, you know, and I did a lot. I started reading reports and sightings and everything else, you know, to kind of prepare myself for it. And it just really got me into it. So I got in on the Facebook, and I just typed in, Bigfoot groups, and boom, I was amazed that there were so many groups out there that was all for that, just that one subject. And I kind of jumped in with both feet, and I've enjoyed it.
Has there been any experience that you've had where it really confirmed that this creature's out there?
I found footprints at the Brown property, as a matter of fact, that defy logic. I walked through the area the day before, and there was nothing there. I know there was nothing there. I walked through it the day before. The next day after we had everything that happened while we were there, Sarah and I walked back through there, and sure enough, there's it wasn't a big Bigfoot, print, but it was bigger than mine. I wear size 14s, so it was it was a pretty good size foot, but, toes, heel, everything. That was because I know it wasn't there before, that was a pretty good piece of confirmation for me. I was in Kentucky in 2015. I was walking up this mountain. I was crawling up this mountain. It was about 15 inches of snow and ice. I was crawling up this mountain, literally on my hands and knees. And I heard a very definitive, solid piece of wood hit a solid piece of wood from a pretty good distance behind me. And I stopped for a minute listening for it again, and never heard it again. So I turned around. I'm sitting on this mountain. I take my binoculars out. I saw something bipedal walking down the side of a mountain. It was pretty far away. I'm looking at it through binoculars. I can't get any really detail, so I can't 100% definitively say it was a Bigfoot, but I believe it was, knowing that the conditions I was crawling in, because I couldn't move very well, and this thing was walking down a mountain with absolutely no problem in the same conditions, pretty much leads me to believe that whatever it was big. So, who knows? But that's something that I felt was pretty definitive.
That's really interesting, but you couldn't get any details. I would assume it wasn't in a spot where a normal person would be walking down a mountain.
Exactly. Yeah. I was sitting on one mountain, and I was looking across to because I heard the wood knock, and it came from that direction, but it was pretty far away. And when I turned around and I got my binoculars, I could tell that whatever it was, its arms were hanging straight down. Its head was looking down where it was walking. I don't think it had any clue I was looking at it. I was too far away, but it was not, you would think if you or I were walking down a mountain, especially in that kind of condition, our arms would be flailing, trying to keep our balance, trying to keep what, and it wasn't like that. It had its head down looking where it was walking. I could see the shape. I just couldn't make out a color or too far away to make a size. It's just too much, but I can tell you that it wasn't walking like I would certainly think a human would be walking under those conditions down a steep mountain. I can 100% definitively say that.
Yeah, no, I understand. And how far away from you were you from the creature?
I would guess and say a mile to a mile and a quarter looking through binoculars.
I got you. And it was all in black?
It was dark, yeah. It looked to be black, but... it's really too hard to say, but I can tell you that I did make out the shape, and it was walking bipedal. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't, any other animal. I mean, the only other thing it could have been would have been a person, but it doesn't make any sense for a person to be walking that smoothly through the same conditions that I had to crawl on my hands and knees to get through.
And that's kind of what I was going to say, Ed, too, is in those certain conditions, it almost sounds like something that maybe a human could not possibly do. Like, I probably couldn't have done it on that type of terrain.
Well, and then, that's a given.
And then, sure. Yeah, I'll get you later. And another thing, too, is what I was going to say is at that distance through your binoculars, it has to be a pretty good size, right? I mean, if you're that far away, it's got to be a pretty good size individual or whatever you saw, I would say.
Sure. I'll tell you this, and I'm only making this a guess, and I can tell you why I'm making this guess, all right? I'm not claiming that this thing was 8 feet tall, but I will guess that it was 8 feet tall because what I saw of it, even though I couldn't make out any detail, I know that the snow wasn't up to like its knees. You know what I mean? The snow was up to about the middle of its calf. All right. So assuming the snow on that mountain, and I couldn't get to the mountain. I couldn't get over there to really check it out. But assuming the snow was the exact same depth, then this thing would have had to been about 2 feet taller than me, and I'm 6 foot.
Yeah, that's an interesting encounter, man. That's a really interesting encounter. And in the book that you wrote, you said it was 10 days with Sasquatch?
Yeah. It's again, it's fiction. And I know this is going to sound crazy coming from an author. Don't buy it online. My publisher has it priced way too high. It's not worth what they're asking for it. So I tell anybody who may be interested in getting a copy, just send me a personal message, a private message on Facebook, and I'll be happy to get some. I can get them a lot cheaper and be happy to give it to you a lot cheaper than what my publisher sells them for. So.
I feel like there's a story here we need to delve into.
No, you know, it's just the publisher has all, they basically owned all the rights to pricing and everything else, and they're basically gouging people. So I wrote the book in 2007. No one even knew I wrote the book until like a year ago. And I kind of like, well, I'll take some to this conference and maybe I can sell a few. And I did, and I got a few, left over. I'm not trying to make, get rich on it or anything like that. Just if somebody's interested, I'd be happy to, sell them one for, $10, maybe $15 for shipping. You know what I mean? But they're not worth the $25 that the publisher is pricing them at. So I definitely urge people not to go to their website and buy them there. Just send me a message and I'll be happy to help.
And if you want to watch Ed Brown or listen to Ed Brown's show, go to Big Truth on YouTube. And it's the first one that pops up. It's Ed's show. And normally his show is called Sit Down with Ed Brown. I know he's doing four episodes of, three episodes now left of Sit Down with Wes and Woody. So if the audience is out there, check out the Sit Down with Wes and Woody. It's probably going to be great shows. After that, it might, however it goes, and then if you want to buy Ed's book, I want to make sure and get all your plugs in here, Ed. I know you're a plugging machine here. 10 days with... 10 days with Bigfoot. If you want to read that book, contact Ed. Ed, how do people contact you?
And you can just, I'm pretty easy to find on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, type in Ed Brown. We'll probably have, a couple hundred friends in common. So just send me a friend request and I'll be happy to respond. And, I'm pretty easily approachable. I don't hide from anybody. I enjoy it. I have fun talking to people. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, and if you can't find him on Facebook, I know if you go to your local casino, you might find him at a poker table. Your chances are pretty high, so check that out too as well. And then
I got to practice.
And then Dan's going to be on what'd you call it? Munster X? Is that what it's called?
Monster X, X. Gunner and Shane, they do a pretty good job.
Oh, do they still have a show over there? I wasn't aware.
Yeah.
So, that guy got uncomfortable really quick. but if you go to iTunes, you can check out Monster X. I'm breaking those guys' balls over there, but it's Monster X. They're on iTunes, and you can find them on Facebook and everywhere else. So, Ed, thank you so much for coming on, man. It was fun having you on.
I appreciate it. Wes, Woody, thanks, guys. And make sure when you guys go to the Big True channel, make sure you click that like button and subscribe. We got new stuff coming out all the time. It's not just interviews. There's a lot of research-based information on there as well from Dan, the Five Journeys. We have a lot going on that channel. So definitely click the like button and subscribe.
Absolutely. Like and subscribe, Big Truth. And I'll be posting it more to the blog. Ed, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. Thanks, Woody.
Thank you. Have a good night, Ed. Thanks for coming on.
Well, again, check out Ed Brown's show, Big Truth on YouTube. I did my best today, Woody. I did my best. I wasn't exhausted before we did all this, but after all those plugs and Ed wants to sell this and he wants to promote this and... I'm exhausted, Ben.
He's a little high maintenance, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit. I'm ready to just cue the music and call it a night, man. I'll see everyone back on Friday.
Yeah. I'm ready just to listen to Kenny Rogers the rest of the day.
Yeah, that was nice. Yeah. That was nice there in the beginning.
Yeah. I kind of forgot how good he is, actually.
Yeah. He's got a velvet voice. I like it.
Yeah. We should buy that song and send it to Ed.
Yeah. Ed should play it when we go on his show.
Yeah.
But thanks for being here tonight, everyone. As most of you have noticed, Woody's in studio with me, and he was in studio with me on Friday night. We're working on the new show, Monsters in the Shadows. I think the audience is really going to like it. As always, if you guys have had an encounter out there, if you've seen anything strange in the woods, you've come across a Sasquatch, or really seen anything strange, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member, help support the show. If the show sounds a little bit different, it's because it's a new studio we're using, so please bear with us on the sound. I hope it actually sounds better, but we'll see how it goes. Thanks for being here tonight, Woody.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks again, man. Thanks for having me, and I'm really excited about the new show coming up, and thanks for having me in the studio. It's a good time. Thank you.
Yeah, we're about halfway through the show, and I always did things I said I'd never do. I always wanted to jump to people's encounters, and I know probably a lot of the old-time listeners are waiting for the encounter. So let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Delvis to the show. Delvis, thanks for coming on tonight, man. I appreciate you being here.
Cool, man. Thanks for having me.
And if you would, kind of start from the beginning. I know you had an encounter when you were a lot younger out there in Texas. If you would, for the audience, just kind of walk us into what happened the night that you stepped away from the home, and just walk us into it. Tell us what happened.
Well, I could remember it was about 15 years old. It was summer. It was summer 95, and a buddy of mine had come over to just kind of hang out. We were having a sleepover. My sister was there and stuff, and I wanted to go rent some movies and rent some games and stuff from the local video store. And so I asked my mom if I could borrow the car and head out. And, she said, no, you're too young. You're 15. You can't go. So, I threw a fit and I left the house, and I just ran out of the house, just kind of just pissed about things. And my buddy stayed behind. I left him at my place, and after I had invited him. So I'm walking down the street. I ran towards the end of the street. There was no sidewalks or anything. It was just a road that let down into a kind of a cornfield, and it would split off. It would tee off either to the left or to the right. And, that was like the farm road. And I guess in this part of Texas, there's a lot of agriculture going on. There's a lot of sunflower fields and cornfields and sorghum, sugarcane, stuff like that. That particular summer, there was a lot of corn being grown. And so I went to the end of the street, and there was an irrigation canal, and this giant old mesquite tree that we used to frequent, my buddies and I, just kind of hang out there and I was in a little rock band and stuff, so you can imagine the kind of things we were kind of hanging out and doing and stuff.
Yeah.
It was a little town, so there was nothing to do. Anyway, so I went down to the end of the street, and I just sat down, and I was, I was mad at my mom because she didn't let me go. So I sat down trying to catch my breath, and, I'm in the middle of the street. It's like maybe 9-10 o'clock at night. There's no lights out there. So if there was a car coming, it could have hit me. What's this kid doing in the middle of the street, But anyway, so I'm sitting there and I hear some rustling behind me in the grass, in the tall grass. So I turned around and there's this giant, well, not giant, but a really big possum just like kind of walking really fast towards me. And usually they're going the other way. If you're going down that their way, they scurry away from you. And this guy was coming right at me, like right by me. Oh shoot. Okay. So I just kind of left it alone, and I turned back around, and I remember, man, I remember the night like it was yesterday. It was a clear night, nice bright moon, and it was kind of breezy also. So I put my head back down, and when I did that, that's when I heard something. I heard this thing just growl at me, and like I told you before, the only thing I could think of was a lion. And I had heard a lion before, as a kid, I went to the zoo and stuff, and I heard them roar and things like that. But this thing was different. It was really loud. It was really deep also. And I could feel it in my chest, you know, when the vibration hit me. I felt like it was screaming in my face, actually.
Out there in Texas, you're right on the Mexican border. You guys really don't have very many predators out there. There's not that. I mean, I'll say there's no bears out there. I'm sure I'll get one or two emails from some people out there say, oh yeah, there's bears out there. But for the most part, there's no bears out there. There's no,
right.
You guys really don't have cougars for the most part. I mean, it's more bobcats and hogs out there. When you heard that thing growl at you, what was going through your mind?
I thought it was the devil, man. Honestly, you know, there's a lot of superstition down here. You know, I thought it was the devil. That's the first thing that crossed my mind. And when I looked up, when I heard that, after I heard that thing, I looked up and I knew it wasn't a dog. You know, I knew that, you know, I'd been chased by a dog and before and, you know, big Rottweilers and stuff. It wasn't a dog. And you're right. You know, there isn't predators like that. Any, bears or nothing like that down here. You know, we got, bobcats, ocelots, maybe, deer, things like that. So yeah, that's what I thought. It was a devil.
Yeah. And I don't blame you. Yeah, no, it is scary, especially when you hear one of these things growl. And we'll kind of get into that here in a moment with some of your friends' encounters or people you run into that have had encounters. Right. So you're sitting there, this thing growls at you. What happens next?
I had this internal dialogue that I remember just kind of telling myself, get up and run. I could feel, you know, the hairs on my arms and the back of my neck just stand, man. Stand on end. And anytime I tell this story, because I've told, you know, maybe a handful of people just roll their eyes. They just don't want to hear it. And, you know, I've told a couple of family members, or I've tried, and, you know, it just kind of gets, you know, brushed aside, man. And I don't blame them, because, you know, this isn't Oregon. This isn't the, you know, North California, you know, forest. We're talking about, you know, South Texas. You know, we don't have forests like that. You know, we do have, you know, thick, really thick brush and stuff, but, Bigfoot, no way. You know, that's unheard of. I told myself to run, get up and run. And that's all I just kept repeating to myself was get up, run, run. And finally I did, you know, and I ran probably the fastest I've ever ran before or after.
And so you get back to the house and what happens?
When I got home, my buddy and my sister and my mom were out in front porch waiting for me. They were waiting on me. And what I thought was like 10 minutes, you know, it was actually like 45, maybe an hour of time that had passed by. And they're like, hey, where were you? And I said, man, I got there and I was like, well, I heard a monster. I heard the devil or something. I don't know what I heard. And, you know, everyone's just kind of quiet looking at me. And my mom, you know, she responded, but in Spanish, she's like, well, yeah, that's what you get for talking to me like that and misbehaving. And, you know, and that was it. That was it. Like, no, I never talked about it again for like a really long time.
And I know you did work with the home health care. And you actually talked to some people and you told them about what happened to you.
Right.
What did some of those people say? I thought this part was interesting. It also kind of correlates to your encounter.
Yeah, it does, man. We were all kind of just chit-chatting. I worked at this home health care office. And, you know, I talked about my story. You know, and at that time, I wouldn't say it was Bigfoot or anything like that. I just heard, you know, I heard the devil. That's all I would say. Because that was that's like my one scary story that I have. Like, you know, so, you know, I'm talking about my story, you know, and other people around the table are talking as well. A friend of mine, he says that him and two buddies were crossing over this one guy that they knew, from the Mexican side over to the U.S. side. And he said it was like a little after midnight, stuff like that. And so they did, the one guy, the guy that knew how to get through the brush and whatever across the river said that that particular part of the river was, it was more narrow, except it was deeper, you know? So they didn't have to swim as long. They just had to, you know, just know how to swim and, you know, go with the current and stuff. So they didn't have to swim for so long. So they decided to cross in that part. And he said that they were down in the brush waiting. And they were like, you know, commando style, man. They were just down on their bellies and just kind of crawling through all this tall grass and cactus and all this stuff. And he said they stopped by the edge of the river on the bank. And he said that, you know, maybe, I don't know, 30 yards away, he heard a big splash in the water. And that was up river from where he was at. So there, you know, so he's like, oh, well, there's probably other people that are, you know, crossing and stuff or doing whatever, you know, cause you know, you gotta be careful out there with, you know, cartel and, you know, whatever else is going on over there. And anyway, so this guy says that he can hear like a boat moving through the water, you know, like when, you know, I guess you're paddling with the, you know, the oars and stuff, you could hear that whoosh sound. He said he could hear that. And so he's looking, he's like, he's waiting for, you know, maybe Border Patrol or somebody to kind of creep up on them. And he says that he sees this black giant gorilla man moving, doing the breaststroke through the water. And he said that the thing slowed down where they were at and looked at them. And then it just continued after it made eye contact. It continued to just, you know, go about its business. And that's what he said, that he described it as a gorilla man, that it was black. It had really black, thick fur or like hair. And it had black skin with really dark eyes.
Let me ask you, how far from your property was this encounter that he was talking about?
I would say, I don't know, 70 miles, more or less. Okay. 50, 70 miles.
So far away, yeah. But not too far away.
Right, right.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like I was telling you earlier when we were on the phone. There's a lot of reports of Sasquatch crossing the Columbia River. You know, the Columbia River separates Oregon and Washington. It's the border, right, separating the two states. And you hear a lot of reports of them swimming across that river. When you start getting down towards the gorge, there's a lot of reports of them swimming. And it's kind of how you described it, or how your buddy was telling you, doing the breaststroke. Right. So that's interesting. You know, it's, you wouldn't think they'd know how to swim, but they have no problem swimming.
Right. Yeah, man. And it's creepy. You know, it's like I was telling you before, with, you know, all this agriculture that we have down here, you know, the land is so flat. And honestly, I think that they move, you know, through these irrigation canals. You know, you're talking about canals that are dug into the ground, maybe 15, 20 feet. And, you know, the water in there is like maybe another 5 feet, something like that. And they go all over the place, you know, and they're just overrun with, you know, just, you know, trees and all these shrubs and stuff. It's perfect, like camouflage, perfect cover for if anybody wanted to move through the water.
Even the growl that you heard the night of your encounter, it's interesting you say the devil. And I wish I had a great sound clip to play for one of their growls, but I've never found one of the growls that these things do online. And it is, people describe it like, I mean, it sounds like the devil growling at you. It sounds somewhere between a lion and the devil growling at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. And it wasn't until, you know, of course I started listening to, you know, your show and stuff that, you know, it's like, yeah, man, this has gotta be it. This has gotta be, a Bigfoot. And so I started, you know, just kind of looking up Bigfoot encounters and sightings here in Texas, and there's like way more than what I originally had thought. You know, of course they're further east, like up in, you know, Houston and like you know, those parts, you know, where they have like nice thick like piney woods and stuff.
Yeah, but not always.
But yeah, you know, down here I wouldn't expect that.
Not always. You know, I've talked to people have come across the border and for obvious reasons they don't want to come on the show, but have right. run into them down there as they're crossing the border. And I've heard everything from Gorilla Man to Gorilla to Monster. And for whatever reason, I don't know if they're coming back and forth between Mexico or why they're even down in that area. Because I know it's relatively flat and it's kind of a desert area down there. But I do get a lot of reports down there. And a lot of the reports you'll never hear because they don't want to come on the show. They're obviously coming into the country illegally, and but they'll talk about it to you in private.
Yeah, just like that one buddy of mine did. And I hope he's cool with me sharing a story. I didn't even ask him. I just thought it was a really good, really good story. It should be known, man. It should, you know, what we're dealing with down here. And I'm sure that there's, you know, plenty of people down here that do have stories of, you know, all these paranormal things going on.
Didn't you say you had another friend of yours that actually had an encounter down close to where you lived?
Yeah. Yeah. And this one's like, from my encounter, it was like maybe, it's like maybe 15 minutes away. So it's a little closer than the one that my other buddy had. But, yeah, I kind of brought this up. I brought up my story again. Of course, you know, it's October and stuff, and, you know, people are always talking about, you know, creepy things and stuff. So I thought I'd, you know, throw in my 2 cents. And, and again, you know, he pulled me aside and he's like, hey man, you know, I saw it though. I didn't like hear it, but I saw it. And he said he was in a car driving down this dirt road, by some water plant. And so he's driving down that road, down that dirt road. And he said, you know, it was dark, no street lamps, nothing like that. And he saw like a 7 foot tall, black, haired, like creature walking towards the car, but like stomping through the grass. Like he was like he wanted to just like meet the car, like kind of hit it or something. And he said they like sped up to kind of avoid it. And, you know, once they, you know, passed it or whatever, they didn't see it in the rear view. So
did he give you any descriptions on what he saw?
Yeah. Well, he kind of described what my other friend saw. That it was black, like black long fur or hair, and that it had a black skin, you know, like a chimp has, almost like a tan sort of color to his face. This thing was like more like, you know, like a gorilla. It was just, you know, just black.
And that's not far from where you had your encounter. So it makes me wonder into the same creature. You know, when you hear that growl, and you know, you start going through the animals in your head and what's in the area, and nothing lines up. That's terrifying. It's like you and I were saying, I know you didn't get a good look at the creature, but when you hear these things growl or you hear these things vocalize and you don't see them, it's almost more terrorizing than when you do see them.
Right.
Because it's so much more of the unknown. What was that?
It's like a big old mystery.
It's a huge mystery. I hope we solve it in my lifetime. I would love for this to come out, you know, in disclosure and for people to actually know that these things are out there beyond just my good word or, you know, any other witness that you hear. It'd be nice if the government would come out and say, hey, listen, these things are out there. You got to be careful. They can turn violent on you. It would just be nice, you know, if they would come out and say that, because there has been a lot of encounters I've talked to with a lot of hunters who've had situations like you've been in. Devils to where they're not really sure what it was, but nothing merely makes sense when they start running it through their head, whether it be a vocalization or a sighting. I've told this story a million times on the show, but it's like the hunter I was talking to, and he said he saw an upright running bear running on two legs, and it was probably running about 30 miles an hour on two legs. And he knows better than that. I mean, a hunter knows better than that. Bears don't get up and take off in a full sprint on two legs. They just don't, but it would be not.
Right. No, it's just, he's just trying to make sense of it, you know?
Yeah. And I get it. Yeah, you're right. He's just trying to make sense of it and trying to put in his head what he saw. But I appreciate you coming on the show, Delvis. I know it wasn't a bloodbath type encounter, but I think most encounters out there are pretty unexplained and just kind of a mystery. And it's more of the question of what was that? If you see a flash of black running past you, A lot of times encounters, you know, people who see that, they don't know what to make of it. And I appreciate coming on and taking the time to share the encounter and then your friend's encounter.
Thanks for having me, man.
And Woody, as always, thanks for being here.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for having me again. It was nice to sit down, talk to you, and talk to Ed Brown with his show. Again, is called Wes and Woody. Sit down with Wes and Woody. So that was nice to talk to him. And, you know, I look forward
to being... Here we go, another plug. I can smell another plug coming in. Let's just get it out of the way. Everyone go to YouTube, go look up Big Truth, and subscribe and like. And, you know, I mean, just watch the crap out of Ed Brown's videos. The guy's fantastic interviewer. Anything else you want to add to...
No, I think that's pretty much it, other than... did you want to reshuffle the deck while we're talking, or did
is there
something else you want to do? Or, I'm just curious. But no, thanks for having me. And Ed, you're a trooper. You're a good sport. Yeah, thanks again, Wes.
Yeah, you're okay, Ed. I did my best today. I really did. I apologize to the audience. I gave it my all. I'm exhausted. I did my best today. All these plugs and. You know, I fought the good fight. I did my best.
Yeah, he's been busy. He's super busy. Ask him if he put shoes on today.
Anyway, I want to thank Ed Brown for coming on. Woody, thanks for being here. And I want to thank Delvis for coming on and sharing his encounter. And if you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. I would love to hear your encounter, would love to talk with you. Again, it's wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. If you get a chance, check out the website, sasquatchchronicles.com, become a member, and help support the show. Thanks so much for being here, as always, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, everyone, have a great night.